Okay, everybody. Good evening. Thank you for coming out for something to say at the Seder, the Tav Shin Pei Hei edition. Unfortunately, we're doing this now for 18 years. This is the 18th yard site of my father, Olav Shalom, Yosef Nisim Ben Yechezkel. We've been saying this year over, Lili Nishmaso. Unfortunately, since then also, my mother, Chana Bas Meir Avram, is also no longer with us. So we say this year, Lili Nishmaso, and also my aunt Berta, who died right around the same time as my father. Very special land for us. We say this year, Lili Nishmaso as well. So this is an opportunity, again, for us to highlight some things to say over at the Seder, the importance of Vigadatul Abincha Vayomahu. You have an obligation as parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, Baruch Hashem, to say over something at the Seder. So it's really a wonderful thing and an opportunity to transmit our Mesorah. The purpose of the Seder isn't to say who has the latest Seder. The purpose of the Seder isn't to say who had more, this at the Seder or that at the Seder. The purpose of the Seder is to say over Yitzipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. It's a mitzvah to say Daraisa, to say over what happened to us when we left Mitzrayim, what happened to us in Mitzrayim, what happened to us when we left Mitzrayim. And that is the essence of the night. And it should be something that's extremely enjoyable. My sedarim with my parents, my brother, my sister, and a guest that we had was always something that we looked forward to for months. It was something that was exciting, something that was just a fantastic opportunity to transmit the Mesorah to us, and we had a chance to continue to transmit that Mesorah since then to our children and our grandchildren in Kanai Nahara. We should be able to continue to do so for many, many years. So there's a famous story from Rav Matisyahu Solomon who said that why is the mitzvah specifically we got it to the bincha? Why don't we say over the Seder to the adults that are there? Why is it the Gadatul Abincha? Why are the children the essence? So he brings a very nice example, and he says, when you see stuff in the newspaper, so Baruch Hashem, the Houthi shot a rocket at us, and the rockets didn't reach there. They were exploded. They blew up. They didn't hurt anybody. So last day I was saying over that there were 120 rockets. We said 100 days of Tehillim, and maybe there's a connection there. But when adults hear that, when the adults hear about the rockets that were blown up by the Iron Dome, so we say, yeah, because they're the Iron Dome, or because of the great strategies, the great defensive techniques. But a kid will look at you with wide open eyes and say, wow. The kid will look at you and say, wow, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us. And Rav Matisyahu Solomon says, that's why it's Vigadat Lebincha, because the kids have such a great appreciation of what they hear at the Seder. We're skeptical adults. We're jaundiced. We no longer think the way a child does, that everything is run by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we have to internalize that to ourselves and make sure that we understand it. And I just want to have one other story that I just saw that I thought was such a beautiful story, and it tells us again the importance of the Seder. This is a story from COVID a few years ago, when the first year Nebuchadnezzar, just 5 years ago in 2020, many people had the Sedarim by themselves, especially older people. They didn't mix even with their children and their grandchildren. And there was this one lady who Nebuchadnezzar just lost her father, lost her husband. And she was an elderly widow all by herself. And she was terrified to be with anybody else. Nebuchadnezzar was a very serious disease, especially for older people. And she was going to be all alone for herself in the Seder. But the next door neighbor, she was moved recently to Lakewood, and the next door neighbor had said, we'll open up our windows or we'll be able to share the Seder with you. You'll be in your room and we'll be in our apartment and we'll be able to share the Seder. And she was very excited. Okay, she won't be all alone. And after the Seder, she called the children up on Chol HaMoed and said, oh, this was the most beautiful Seder in the world I've ever been to. They sang all the Negunim that I'm so familiar with. It's like they were in our house. Oh, it was such a beautiful Seder. Okay, that's a beautiful story. But what's the story behind the story? The story behind the story is that the children of that lady had called up the children of the hosts that were the two people that were hosting and told them all of the negunim and all of the special things that they had done at their Seder. And they did it over for her. It wasn't their Seder. They made it into that lady's Seder. And that's what the Seder is all about. The Seder is all about when we're kind to each other, when we think of each other, when we want to transmit our Mesorah in a yashadika way, in an erlich way, in a way that truly transmits the Mesorah. That's why Avram Avinu was so great. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu love Avram Avinu so much? It's because he transmitted the Mesorah to Yitzchak. That's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. Rav Shechter Shlita is the most humble person in the world. When he's asked, what does he consider his greatest accomplishment? He says, Baruch Hashem, my children are shown the Torah mitzvahs. But that's really the essence of what life is about. It's transmitting the Mesorah. A person who, Baruch Hashem, he's a huge Talmid Chacham, but his children never went off the Derech through no fault of his own even. But certainly if he wasn't, because he didn't pay enough attention to them, or he didn't try to transmit the Mesorah successfully. So then, that's not the way a family runs. A family runs to transmit. The whole purpose of the Seder is to transmit the Mesorah to the children. It should be fun for the children. It doesn't mean that you have to ignore the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. You don't just tell jokes at the Seder. But it should be age-appropriate. And if you have children of a widespread, it's much more difficult. But it should be something that should be wonderful and enjoyable, that your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, their great-grandchildren will still be talking about the Seders that they had at their father's, grandfather's table years to come. Okay. With that little introduction, we'll begin. For those that remember, we left off last year, we're at the Esam Aleinu El HaBonim. It's in the middle of Magid. It's right before the Yotzeinu Hashem Mitzrayim. So if you have a Haggadah, you can follow along. But I always tell people, you don't have to say the Vartlach over at that point in the Seder. You can say them over, even if it's not the Seder. You can say them over during the meal of the Seder. You can say them over at any time. The whole purpose is to make sure that we're transmitting our Mesorah properly. So we're going to darshan first this pasuk. V'yasam Aleinu El HaBonim. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw all of the things that we had in Mitzrayim. He saw the previous pasuk was Eson Yeinu. He saw our afflictions. And here it says he saw Amaleinu, literally translated our hard work. So this is a reference to El HaBonim. This is the children. What does it mean, this is the children? And he brings a pasuk from the beginning of Parsha Shemo, Shenemar, Kol HaBein HaYilod HaYor Tashlichuhu V'Kol HaBas Tichayun. So you should know that this is the children. Amaleinu was the children because it said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that they never threw the baby boys into the Nile. They threw the baby boys into the Yam. And this was a terrible thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw. And because of that, that's one of the reasons why he took us out of Mitzrayim. So I always like to give gematrias. I know gematrias are just parparos. They're just the fourth spice to the Torah. You don't learn out halachas and gematrias, and some are against gematrias. But you know what? If it makes you excited about something, so gematria is a great thing. And here's a, and again, I always tell you from the Haggadah, the Pe'er Aaron, is a person who died, Al-Kiddush Hashem, in the Warsaw Ghetto, and he wrote all of these Perushim with no Bar-Ilan encyclopedia with him and no Svarim with him. It was all by heart, and he had all these different Perushim, and the one that's purely gematrios is the Pe'er Aaron. And he says it's an amazing gematria. We know that Paro made a gezerah to throw the Jewish babies, boys, in, and then he said, well, we're going to throw the Egyptian babies in. And this, the Mefarshim bring down, the Abar Benel, amongst others, say that Paro was the hypocrite of all time. He wanted to demonstrate, oh, this isn't an anti-Semitic act, we're not doing something against the Jews, we just don't want this Moshiach. This astrologer saw that there would be somebody who would cause a civil war in Mitzrayim and take the Jews out and cause all sorts of troubles. So this was an anti-Semitism, this is nothing about the Jews, we're just going to kill the Moshiach. So he officially proclaimed that we're going to throw in the babies of the Mitzrayim, the boys of the Mitzrayim as well. And the Pe'er Aaron has this unbelievable gematria. It says, Kol HaBein HaYilod HaYeoro Tashlichuhu. Tashlichuhu, straight, one word, one teva, 771. The gematria is Af Al HaMitzrayim Gozar, 771. Af is 81, Al is 100, Hamitzriyim 380, Gozar 210, also 771. And this is the connection to show you that even the baby boys of the Mitzriyim, Paro, wanted to throw into the Yam. Notice how I said the word wanted. The Abarbanel said that's what he did publicly. For public consumption, oh, this is anti-Semitism. We love the Jews. We just don't want this Moshiach. That's what he did begiloy, in public. But in private, he said, don't you dare throw the Egyptian babies into the Nile. You only throw the Jewish babies into the Nile. And this is the height of the hypocrisy that Paro had. Paro is the anti-Semite of all time. Paro is the paradigm of Rishus, Para. That's what Paro means, Para. So this is something that, again, at the Siddurim, we should be talking about current events as well. Talk about current anti-Semitism. If you have people that are still around, they should live and be well from the Shoah, or people that went through terrible times in American or in other places in the world, so they should tell their stories over so we should understand the tradition of anti-Semitism that the world has against us. And Paro was the leader. He said, oh, sure, we'll throw our babies in the Nile as well, but he didn't mean it, and he didn't do it. So that's the first gematria that you have tonight from the Pe'er Aaron. So this pasuk, Kol HaBein HaYilod HaYeoro Tashlichuhu V'Kol HaBas Tichayun. So that seems to be obvious. Well, if we're going to throw the boys in, so obviously we're going to save the girls. So we'll talk about that momentarily. But let's start off over here with the question, how do we know that Amaleinu means the children? The HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw the hard work was the children. So beautiful parishes, we know that Bishul Noshim Sidkanios Negalu Vasidin Ligoil. It's because of the righteous women that we were saved in Mitzrayim, and it's because of the righteous women that Mashiach is going to come, not because of the men. We have to constantly remember that. The idea that the Torah somehow favors men over women is just incorrect. The Torah is fair, it's divine, it favors women a lot more than it does men. And it tells us, Beferish, that the Golus from Mitzrayim was accomplished because of the Noshim Tzirkanios. And here's one of the ways that the Amelus, the hard work, the men gave up. The men didn't want to go and procreate. The men didn't want to go and continue. They had given up. And the women, through very difficult, hard work, enticed the men. And they worked to make the men want to go and continue to live and to want to have children. And that's the Amaleinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw the hard work of the women, not the cleaning for Pesach hard work. Not the getting all the stuff ready for the food for hard work. They saw their spiritual hard work. They saw the future of Klal Yisrael was dependent upon their Amaleinu, and that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw. Vayar es Amaleinu, this is the banim that they helped to create. That's what they were doing. Rashi brings down a simple teretz. He said this is just the hard work. This was the Amaleinu, the hard work in raising children. Right? Baruch Hashem, you're at the stage where you're a grandparent, so then your kids worry about raising their children, and you get all the benefits of being a grandparent. But it's very hard work to be a parent. And the Mefarshim bring down, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw, to try to raise children in a foreign country, to try to raise good Erlich Yid in Mitzrayim, with all the persecution, with all the hard work, with all the tremendous anti-Semitism around. So that's hard work. Hashem saw the hard work. And some suggest that he saw that we were losing the battle and he had to quicken the cates. He had to come to the end of the shibud faster than ideally would have been because it was so difficult. And that's the Amaleinu Elu Habonim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw how difficult we were struggling to raise children in a foreign environment. And we see this today. This is something to talk about at the Seder as well, how difficult it is in these days of anti-Semitism. And in the days where the world is against us, so we have to understand the children have different struggles today than they did maybe when we were growing up. So therefore, this is something, the Amaleinu of raising children. The Mefarshim bring down an additional idea that there was a certain amount of shibud that was supposed to be done. There was a certain amount of work. And when you had a lot of children, so then the shibud would be shortened. So just to put into mathematical terms, there needed to be X amount of work done by the Klal Yisrael. So if you have 1,000 people doing it, it's going to take a certain amount of time for 1,000 people to do X amount of work. If you have 10,000 people, that will shorten the amount of time in the shibud. So the Amaleinu was, they struggled to have more children to be able to shorten the shibud. They recognized, this is the same idea, that we know that Mashiach will come when all of the neshamas that are supposed to be brought into the world, they're taken out from the Kisei HaKavod, and they're brought into this world. So it's a struggle sometimes to have children. It can be financially difficult to have children. But if we realize that that's the whole tachlis in life, is to bring forth the next generation and to bring them forth in multitudes, so then the shibud will end faster and sooner, and then we can realize our own geula, just like they had the geula from Mitzrayim. Then the Aruch HaSechayim brings down that Paro was killing the children is the opposite of what we do. And you look at this today, you look at the terrorists. They hide bombs in their schools. They shoot rockets from their schools. They're willing to sacrifice their children. And Pum Faket, we're the exact opposite. We will not sacrifice our children. We protect our children. Often at the terrible, terrible, tragic loss of the soldiers who go and protect the children. They put themselves as a shield in front of the children. Lahavdil, Elif Abdullos, that the terrorists, they put the children as shields for them. And that's the contrast that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw, Vayaris Amaleinu. He saw the way we treat our children versus the way the rest of the world treats their children. There's an idea here that the work that we do, if it has no tachlis, it's very difficult. We know the Pitom and Ramses, one of the reasons why that was considered such difficult work to do was because the cities were in a quicksand area, and the cities would be built, and then they would fall down. They'd rebuild them, and they would fall down. That's very difficult. A person who is working hard, but if he sees the fruits of his labor, so then that work is hard, backbreaking as it was. Well, look what I accomplished. So this was the Amelus that was the children. They had children, and then the Mitzrayim, the horrible Mitzrayim, they took those baby boys and they threw them into the Nile. And that broke their backs. That Amelus for the creation of life was taken away from them. So that's a very, very difficult thing. And that's the pain and suffering that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw. Vayaris Amaleinu, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw. There's another idea that's brought down that Vayaris Amaleinu, all the children that were thrown into the Nile. So the Mefarshim say, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved many of them, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu raised them. So what was the hard work that we were doing? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu raised them, so then why is there considered hard work for us to do? So we'll come back to that in a little bit of time. Just keep that question in mind. If it wasn't this Amaleinu, the hard work, so then why is this brought down for the children? We'll get back to that in a moment. I said before we'd answer the question, v'es habas t'chayun, if it tells us that the boys would be destroyed, so obviously the girls would be surviving. So why does it have to tell us that? We know that there are no extra words, even though the Haggadah is not Tanakh, but there's still no extra words. The Baal Haggadah, when he wrote the Haggadah, so he didn't put in extra words. So what's the purpose of telling us, v'chol habas t'chayun, all the women are going to be saved. The little baby girls are going to be saved. So there's a couple of interesting ideas over here. The Ritva says, and this again, you can translate so much of this into modern day life. Rachmana Litzlan on October 7th, one of the horrible things that the Hamas Yimach Shemoam did was that they assaulted our women. So this isn't something that they just thought of on their own. They saw this from Paro. Paro said, let's go throw the boys into the Yamsuf and we'll take the girls. We'll assault the girls. We'll take the women. So it looks like he, on one hand, is being a hypocrite. He said, oh no, we're not attacking everybody. We love the Jewish women. We want to save the Jewish women. Look, we're even throwing in our boys too. So we're not anti-humanism. We're not doing a genocide over here. We are just interested in saving the Jewish women's lives. So we're very, very wonderful people. But in fact, the only reason they were saving the Jewish women's lives was to go, Rachmana Litzlan, and to assault them. And to go and take the Jewish women's wives, to go and do all sorts of acts of immorality with them. And therefore, this is the horrible thing the Ritva says, that why it had to mention specifically, v'chol habas t'chayun wasn't a positive thing on Paro's part. This was in addition to his, well, we're going to kill all the boys, and we're going to assault the women, Rachmana Litzlan. So this is a very important idea. And the Gezerah over here was that the Nekevos would remain in their embarrassment, in their after being assaulted, after being forced to either marry the Mitzrayim, or they would be just in a life of servitude and they'd be married to slaves. So it would have been better if the women had been killed. So it looks like Paro is doing a positive thing. V'chol habas t'chayun. No, that was at the end. That's even a stricter, a harsher punishment that Paro wanted to do on the women than he did on the men. The men, the boys, boom, they would be killed right away. The women would be tortured. The women would have to live and suffer with this indignity for the rest of their lives and live lives of slave women and to be used for immoral purposes. That was far worse. And therefore, that's something that we have to understand. The rishus that Paro had, that's unfortunately something that we see in the world today as well. Nothing changes. Nothing new under the sun. Then he brings down that the idea behind why he would save the women was because if, in fact, he had said, I'm going to kill the boys and the girls, so then what Amram did, everybody would agree. Amram separated from Yocheved. But his daughter Miriam said, hey, Dad, you're worse than Paro. Paro wants to kill everybody, and Paro only wants to kill the boys, and you're killing everybody. But if Paro had said, I'm going to kill the girls also, then everybody would agree with Amram and splitting from Yocheved. And Miriam wouldn't have had an argument. So Paro knew that that would occur, and he said, this way, the Jewish people will still continue to have their boys and their girls. I'll kill the boys, and I'll do all sorts of immoral things with the girls. So it was a very well-planned out, nefarious plot that Paro was doing. We have to understand, when we read the Haggadah, when we read stories like the Megillah, when we read all sorts of historical Tanakh-related events in our Jewish history, they're not just stories. They're teaching us tremendous ideas, about anti-Semitism, teaching us tremendous ideas about how the world runs, and that the focus is always anti-us, because the world is jealous that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made us the chosen people. And that's part of what the Seder is all about, that we became the Am HaNivchar. By taking the Seh, I spoke about this past Shabbos, when we took the Seh, in their faces, on Yud Nisan, which is the day of my father's yard site, it's also the day of Miriam's yard site, when we took the Seh on Yud Nisan and for 4 days paraded it around in front of them and saying, we're going to slaughter your Avodah Zorah. We're going to kill your God and you're going to do nothing about it. So that was the first communal act of Klai Yisrael coming together as a people. Until now, we've been persecuted as a people. We've been attacked as a people. But here's the first time the Jewish people did something actively to go and establish ourselves as Klal Yisrael. And that is something to talk about at the Seder. What do we have to do to continue to preserve Klal Yisrael? What can even little children talk about at the Seder? Say, what would you want to do? What could you do to make this world a little bit better and safer for the Jewish people? And that's something that on any level, whether you're a 4-year-old kid or you're a 40-year-old kid, that's something that can be a discussion at the Seder table, which is, again, transmitting the Mesorah that we have. The next idea that we'll talk about is the word dechak. So we go to the next paragraph, which says, v'yes lachatzenu, the pressures, zeh dechak. This is the reference to the extreme pressure that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that we were under. So what is exactly does it mean, this extreme pressure that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw us under? So again, we'll go to the Per Aaron for a very interesting gematria. The Per Aaron says that the gematria of the word hadechak is 117. What's special about 117? If you calculate it out from the death of the last one of the Shvatim, which was Levi, so from his death, from Levi's death until Yitzias Mitzrayim, 117 years. So this dechak is a reference to the 117 years of subjugation that we had. Until Levi died, there wasn't a formal subjugation. It's only upon the death of Levi, the last of the Shvatim, that the formal subjugation of Paro took effect. So that's an allusion. The Per Aaron says, this lachatzenu, this pressure that we had, is a reference to this dechak that we were going through. The tremendous pressure that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed, unfortunately, the Mitzrayim to go and do to us. Now, the understanding of what this lachatz is, there are a couple of different things. So there's a simple understanding that the lachatz is just a reference to the assimilation, the tremendous pressures for assimilation, which they had in Mitzrayim, and the Jews successfully fought against this. There was no group of Jews in Mitzrayim that assimilated, which is an amazing thing when you think about it. The oppressors could do whatever they wanted to us, and the Torah testifies that none of the women were assaulted. HaKadosh Baruch Hu protected us. That's why when it goes through the listing of all the generations that came out from Mitzrayim, there's either a yud or a hey attached to the front or the end of every single one of the shemos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is putting his shame, yud kei, to say, these are your children. They weren't, Rachmana l'Islan, children from an assault. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, b'chvod v'atzmo, is testifying to that. So we have to understand the tremendous pressures for assimilation. You look at America, the Golden Medina, right? The trial of our generation is assimilation. There are probably more people, Nebuch, that have assimilated in America than Rachmana Litzlan, than Hitler, Yamach Shemo, Zichro killed. When you think about that, the tremendous numbers of Jews that have been lost through outright direct murder from Hitler, Yamach Shemo, Zichro, but the same number of people have been lost, Rachmana Litzlan, by just assimilation, forgetting that they're Jewish. So this was the pressure, the lachatzenu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw, that if I let you stay in Mitzrayim any longer, you're going to unfortunately begin to assimilate. Until now, you've been successful. But if you're going to go and stay there much longer, you're unfortunately going to begin to assimilate, because the tremendous pressure that they were under was just not sustainable, not bearable for a much longer period of time. Another explanation of this dechak, of this lachatz, is the physical, the absolute physical pressures that we were under. The beatings, the hard back-breaking work that we had to undergo, and the stress. If you didn't make the quota, they would throw your children into the wall. So the tremendous pressure on them was the physical and mental pressures. That's what it's referring to. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw and said that that's it. I'm not going to allow this to continue anymore. Then there's a beautiful idea that's brought down in the Haggadah that's from a city called Darmstadt. I'm not familiar with it, but it's a Haggadah. I don't know the Talmidei Chachamim that wrote it, but it's brought down that it says the S lachatzenu. The word the S is often darshit. Shimon HaMasuni would go through the entire Torah and darshin every S. He came to one place, he didn't know how to darshin, Rabbi Akiva darshin it for him. But the word S is not just a filler word. It's hard to translate, but the S lachatzenu. So he says that the S comes to be marba something. You know what the marba is over here? The ribuy is? HaKadosh Baruch Hu was in tsar. And this is something also so important to transmit. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, imo anochi bitzara. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I always say, he was with my mother in Auschwitz. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was in Gaza on October 7th. He was at Kibbutz Be'eri on October 7th. He was in the Spanish Inquisition. Imo anochi bitzara. HaKadosh Baruch Hu suffers kavayocho. There's actually an interesting medrash that is found in some Haggadahs that we don't have in our Haggadah. The Machzor of Vitri says you shouldn't put it in the Haggadah. But it talks about the pain that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has. And the reason why the Machzor of Vitri says you shouldn't have it in the Haggadah because people won't understand. How can HaKadosh Baruch Hu be in pain? There is no concept of pain by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it's an anthropomorphism that we need to understand this concept that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us in Sarah. And just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us in Sarah, we have to be in Sarah with our brothers and sisters that are still Chatufim. We have to be in Sarah with the people that are still not back in their homes up north. We have to be in Imo Anochi Mitzara with the people that have lost their jobs in Eretz Yisrael, defending Eretz Yisrael. So that's what it means, the S Lachatzenu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyocho is in suffering for everything that we're undergoing in Mitzrayim and today. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is pained by the fact that there is a mosque on top of the Har HaBayis. He can instantly change that. But he suffers with us. And that's an important idea, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always with us. And he will always give us the geula like he gave in Mitzrayim. We have to understand and transmit to our children that there will be a geula shleima, b'mheira. And that's something that is very, very important for us to transmit to our children. Another idea behind the S from the same Haggadah that I just mentioned is the S is Larabos, the Avos, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and the Imos, Sarah, Rivka. All of the Imos and all of the Avos, they're suffering as well. There are many stories in the Gemara about what the Avos and Imos are doing. And somehow they also felt the persecution. I mentioned in the past a beautiful idea. It says, "Vayar Yisrael es Mitzrayim meis al sfas hayom." So the Zohar, that's a great source. The Zohar says, "Vayar Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought back Yaakov." It's not Yisrael in the generic. "Vayar Yisrael es Mitzrayim." It doesn't say the Mitzrayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Zohar says, brought back the Avos of the Mitzrayim, the guy named Mitzrayim. And he said, look at what your horrible progeny have done. Vayar Yisrael es Mitzrayim, meis al sfas hayom. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I want you, Yaakov, I gave you a promise, your children, Ger Yezar Chob Yeres Olohem. He told to Avram Avinu, it was passed on to Yitzchak, passed on to Yaakov. And I said, afterwards they're going to come out. And that's what the Zohar says. And this is the very popular idea that people always say over at Semachot about parents, grandparents, great-grandparents that are no longer with us. And they say, oh, their parents, grandparents, great-grandparents are in Shemayim. They're looking down at this Simcha. How do we know they're looking down at the Simcha? It's this Zohar. Vayar Yisrael es Mitzrayim, both in the singular. It doesn't say the Yisraelim. It doesn't say the Mitzrayim. So the Zohar brings down, this is the source that we have, that the Avos and Shemayim know to a certain extent what's happening here. And they felt the pain and suffering, the Es Lachatzenu. The physical pressures, they were living in very, very small places. They were in Eretz Goshen, which is a small place. Interestingly, the Medrash says, why did they pick Goshen? So two reasons are given why Yaakov Avinu said, let's take Goshen. So one of the interesting ideas was that this was a dowry that Sarah Imenu had gotten from Paro, the original Paro. Back in the days when Paro took Sarah, so as part of the ksuba that he gave her, And then he paid it when he didn't assault her and she left to go back to Avram Avinu, but he still said, you can have Eretz Goshen. So Yaakov specifically said, this is our land. The Goshen is our land. There's one opinion that says it is the closest land from Mitzrayim to Eretz Yisrael. So they never wanted to go too far into Mitzrayim. They just went, they had to leave. They went just to the right to the very border of Eretz Yisrael, not any further in, because we weren't planning on staying there, even though we stayed there for many, many hundreds of years, but we weren't intending to stay there. If a Golus is unfortunately very, very long, this Golus that we're in since the destruction of the second base of Mikdash is almost 2,000 years. So it's a very terrible and long Golus, but it's still Golus. We never were dwelling here. We always were guests. We always were sojourners for a short duration of time, even though the short duration of time is now almost 2,000 years. We don't live in America because that's where we're going to be for the rest of the world. We don't live in Germany, right? Berlin, next year in Berlin, was a terrible, terrible idea. And look how far it got the people that were reformed and took out Lashon HaBa Yerushalayim, and they changed their Haggadahs to say Lashon HaBa Berlin. They literally did that. And look what happened to them. So if we teach our children that, yes, we can have, Baruch Hashem, a beautiful life here in America. We can have Torah, we can have kashrus, we can have all sorts of Torah, good things, but it still has to be taught that this is temporary. This isn't our home. We can be good citizens here, we can be loyal citizens here, but this isn't our home. Eretz Yisrael is our home. And we have to transmit that as part of the Seder. And that's something that's critically important to understand, that we didn't come down to Mitzrayim to dwell in Mitzrayim. We just stayed here for a short period of time. Others explain the lachatz was the crushing pressure on us to, so to say, give up our spirituality. And we had many types of galuses throughout the years where they said, sure, you can come, like in America, you can be a regular American citizen, just give up the, you know, the yarmulke, give up the kashrus, stop wearing skirts, put on pants like everybody else. Go and assimilate. So this spiritual pressure is what the lachatz, according to some, is referring to. Let's go on to the next paragraph. The next paragraph tells us, "Vayotzeinu Hashem miMitzrayim biyor chazakah v'zronu tuyah uv'morah gadol uv'osos uv'movsim." So there's a beautiful idea that's brought down in the Per Aron, this parish that I mentioned, but it's not a gematria, but it's even better than his gematrias. And he says over here, these ideas, Yod Chazakah, one, Zro added to Yod two, V'morah Gadol three, V'osos four, V'mosim five, parallels five very important ideas. And he says, this is the Zuchus that we got out of Mitzrayim. V'yotzeinu Hashem Mitzrayim, not through these things only, but because of these things. Some that happened and some that will happen, they were Zuchusim for Klal Yisrael. And this is an essential part, a component, if you wish, of what makes us Jews, what made us deserve to have Yetzias Mitzrayim, and what will allow us to have the ultimate Gula Shleima B'mheira. So he says, the Yod Chazakah represents the Yod Chazakah at Har Sinai, Kabbalah Satorah. Because it says, L'chol HaYod HaChazakah Asher Aso Moshe, which is Shekibel HaTorah HaLuchos B'yodov. He came down, all the pictures, Moshe Rabbeinu carrying the two Luchos in his hands. That's the Yod HaChazakah. Because we would accept the Torah, we said Na'aseh V'nishma. Kosh Baruch Hu knew we would say Na'aseh V'nishma. So it counted for us as a Zuchus. So this Yod HaChazakah, that Moshe Rabbeinu brought down the Luchos, and we accepted them. That is reason number one. Vayotzeinu Hashem Mitzrayim. Number two, he says, what's the Zro in the Tuya? Tefillin. You put your tefillin on your outstretched hand. So it's the Zuchus of the tefillin. The tefillin are considered Kidei at Kol HaTorah Kula. So the importance of wearing tefillin every day, you're binding the understanding that there's a Hiratzon, the people say, Ribbono Shel Olam, you're binding all of your senses to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why the Yad, which represents touch, is one box with all the parashos, and the four senses of your head, the hearing, the seeing, the smell, and a taste. So these, you're binding all of your physical senses towards the use of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's such an important idea, that anything that we have, everything that we have, is to be used for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you're Baruch Hashem successful in business, if all you do is you keep it to yourself, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take it away from you. He's giving us a gift. So if you share the gift, so of course you'll be successful. Heard from my Rebbeim, the beautiful idea that if you go into a restaurant and they put down a big plate, my wife's going to say, well, I don't act that way, because when they put down the plate in front of me, I just assume it's always the whole portion is for me. But that's not the right way. Even I recognize that. So you're given a big plate, let's say, of cookies, and they put them down in front of you, so yeah, okay, you can take one and then you pass it along. All the cookies aren't for you. We all know that. Most of us know that. So it's the same idea. Kodesh Baruch Hu gave you, Baruch Hashem, whatever it is. You have a great voice, or you have a lot of money, or you have, Baruch Hashem, very strong back. So Kodesh Baruch Hu gave that to you, but it's like the cookies. You're supposed to share them with everybody else. If you don't share them with everybody else, so then it's a waste. So the Zra and the Tuya represents that we're giving over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu all of our senses. With everything you've given us, we give it around and help our fellow Jews. That's the whole purpose. That's the point of giving us HaKadosh Baruch Hu all these presents. What's the Mora Gadol? So he says, that's the mitzvah of tzitzis. Because it says, Uri Isem Oso. That's the Mora, is a play on the word to see. And the word Mora Gadol is spelled without a vav. It's spelled chaser in the pasuk. So it's Gimel Dalet Lamed. Gidilim is a reference to the tzitzis. So in the schus of the mitzvah of tzitzis, so that's another reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim. What are the osos? So the osos are Bris Milah and Shabbos, two of the mitzvahs that are referred to as os. That's why we don't wear tefillin on Shabbos. Tefillin is the other mitzvah that's referred to as an os. And we need to have two osos on us. We don't need three. That's why in Shabbos, we don't need to wear the tefillin. Shabbos lazman tefillini. But the Bris Milah and the Os of Shabbos, that's a reference that we would observe those mitzvahs. We did the Dam of Milah. That was one of the reasons why HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim. We think that, oh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Passover. Hashem needed to see the Dam to know which are the Jewish houses and which are not the Jewish houses. That's almost apikarsis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows everything. So he doesn't need that. The whole idea of us putting up the blood was for us. It gave us a mitzvah. It gave us a zechus. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you Baruch Hashem money. He's giving you an opportunity to do a mitzvah. If you just spend it all on yourself, so then you're not doing the right thing. So the os that we did with the dam, both of the Mila and of the Korban Pesach, the two mitzvahs I say for which there's a chiv of kares, if you don't do them. So this is the osos that they're referring to. And finally, what's the movsim? The movsim is the dam of the Korban Pesach. Moshe is Adam, Yitzchus Dam HaPesach. So that's what the Per Aaron says. This paragraph, this introductory statement in the paragraph, is alluding to the reasons Vayotzianu Hashem Mitzrayim because of these five things that we did or will do. We need Zechusim. We always have to look for Zechusim in order to get what we want from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So now let's delve into this paragraph a little bit. Vayotzianu Hashem Mitzrayim says Lo Ayde Malach, Lo Ayde Sorof, Lo Ayde Yishliach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't send any of these different types of servants of his. So the Mefarshim, I won't go into this in any detail, they say there are differences between a Malach and a Sarif. A Sarif is higher than a Malach, way above my pay grade. And then the Shaliach, that's a reference to Metatron, who is the Sar of Klal Yisrael. So he's even higher than the Sarifim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm not even going to send to you your Sar to take you out of Mitzrayim. This great Malach Metatron, so I'm not going to send him even. B'chvodo v'atzmo, I'm going to go. El HaKadosh Baruch Hu, b'chvodo v'atzmo. And how do we know this? Because the language, again, if you're not very knowledgeable about Hebrew, but it still jumps you in the face. Shenemar, the pasuk says, v'yovarti b'yar Mitzrayim. Until now, the story's been told in the third person. Moshe said this, Moshe said that. And all of a sudden, it says, v'yovarti. It doesn't say, v'over Hashem. If this had been continuing in the way of the Haggadah, it should have said, and Hashem then went and did this. But it says, V'yavarti. All of a sudden, we're switching to the first person. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is talking. So we see, V'yavarti, I myself went B'yaretz Yisrael B'alayla Azeh. And I myself went, V'yikesi Kol B'char B'yaretz Yisrael, not via a shaliach or any other way. And I did all of this. So there are many reasons why HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to go and do this himself. So we'll just explore some of them. But again, it's a very beautiful idea. So first of all, there is a Beferish Pasuk that says otherwise. So this pasuk that I just read to you is from Shmos Yud Beis, pasuk Yud Beis, right? V'avarti b'eretz Yisrael b'alayla zeh, v'yikesi b'ochor, I did this, ani Hashem. There's another pasuk, amazing. People don't realize this. The pasuk in Bamidbar Chof Perek Terzayin that says Moshe Rabbeinu was telling Edom that Hakadosh Baruch Hu saved us from Mitzrayim. It says v'nitzak al Hashem, we cried out to Hashem, v'yishma koleinu, v'yishlach malach, v'yotzeinu mitzrayim. Hashem sent the Malach to take us out of Mitzrayim. Wow, you ever see a stira? You can't have a bigger stira than this. I myself took you out of Mitzrayim. But yeah, I sent the Malach. So everybody asks, how do you reconcile these two psukim? So there are a lot of simple terutzim. One is that Moshe is the malach that we're referring to. And all Moshe did was be the mouthpiece. Moshe was the press agent of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the press agent doesn't do anything. They're the one that stand up in front of the microphone and take the questions. They don't take it from the AP. They only take it from the press that they like. Well, okay, a discussion for another time. Moshe Benu was the PR guy for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He didn't do anything himself. Moshe being the first person to say that. It was all through HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe was the mouthpiece of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Oh, the malach is a reference to the mouthpiece of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not that the malach took him out. The malach did anything. That's the first and simplest teretz. Moshe Rabbeinu was just the words of the malach. Okay. Others suggest that, yes, a malach did some of the makos, but makos b'choros, that was only able to be done by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because we know that the Mitzrayim were very immoral. So you couldn't tell who were the b'chors from which father was really the b'chor from. So only HaKadosh Baruch Hu would be able to tell which tipa they came from. So therefore, Makos b'choros b'davka had to be done by HaKadosh Baruch Hu and not by a malach. Okay, another very beautiful teretz. And that's why it says, Vashem he called b'chor. It specifically uses that lashon only by the makos of b'choros, the makos b'choros, and not by the other makos. Then it tells us that there was a mashchis there. So how do you reconcile that? There was a mashchis there that implies that it's something other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu, one of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's agents. So the Mefarshim grapple with this, and they come to a number of conclusions here as well. And that, for example, if you take a stick and hit somebody with it, as opposed to if you send an army and hit somebody with the army, that's two different ideas. When you take a stick, that's you taking the stick and hitting with it. So yes, there's this mashchis, the stick, but you are controlling the stick. As opposed to if you send an army. So the army is an independent idea, albeit you sent it. So when you send some external force, so that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses, a shaliach, a malach. But here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself brought the magefa on the Mitzrayim. And some suggest it was a real magefa, that this hashchasu was some sort of a pandemic. The Mefarshim bring down that this magefa that killed the Bechorim went into everybody. It was apparently an airborne pathogen, and it went into everybody. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu somehow protected the pathogen from going into the Jewish people. And that's why it was in the atmosphere. The blood on the door didn't, again, it's a simplistic idea that the blood, oh, Hashem had to see the blood and know to pass over that house. But that's really probably not the deeper understanding, that there was this airborne pathogen. That's what some of the Mefarshim used that language, that was breathed in by the Mitzrayim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't allow it to be breathed in by the Jewish people. And only HaKadosh Baruch Hu could control that. And that's why it had to be HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodo uvi'atzmo himself. Okay, we're running out of time. I have 1 or 2 minutes left. So we'll just go quickly to some additional ideas over here. So the Mefarshim bring down that Hashem controls everything. So even if he were to have sent the malach, don't think for a second that the malach has any shlita, the malach has any capability on its own to do anything. Right? In this world, there are people that think they're really controlling and doing stuff. Right? I won't get into politics, I won't mention any specific people or any specific countries, but there are a lot of people in the world that really think they are doing something. And the idea over here is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls it, whether he sends a malach or it gives somebody the appearance of them being capable or powerful of doing anything, it's totally incorrect. It's all an illusion that they have, that they think that they're powerful. They really aren't doing anything. And then finally, we have the idea from the Rashbates. The Rashbates brings down, Sha'olam kulo bole mazikim. The world is filled with all sorts of dangerous things. Right? The children need to have the socket protectors, if anybody still has those, to make sure that the kids don't stick their fingers in the sockets. Right? There's street lights, because Rahman al-Sam, we could run across the street and get hit by a car. There's lots of dangerous things in the world. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu normally has a certain amount of protection that he provides to prevent people from getting hurt. And what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did on this night was, he said, oh, you don't think I'm running the world? Let's see how well you do without my protection in the world. And that's what happened to the Mitzrayim. The hashkacha, the protection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was removed. And boom, the Mitzrayim, they're gone. And that's what happened at the Yam Suf. The entire nation, with all their power, with all their chariots, which were their tanks, their Merkava. That's where the tank gets its name from. So all of their power, oh, Kochiv Yotzim Yadi, it's zilch. It's worthless to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, okay, you don't think I'm running things? I'm going to remove the protection that I have over you, and let's see how well you do. And we'll conclude with that thought. If we can transmit to our children that they have nothing to worry about. I heard recently the phrase that you have nothing to fear except fear itself. So that's really a chazal. Chazal says, how can it be Yirah Shamayim? Psychiatrists say that having Yirah, pachad, is a terrible thing. We give lots of Xanax, we give lots of Valium to get rid of the anxiety that people have, all that fear. So the answer is, if you have Yirah Shamayim, so then you have nothing to fear. The only thing we have to fear is if you don't have Yirah Shamayim. But if you know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, which is the message of the Seder, to tell the children, HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. He runs it perfectly. I don't understand it. I got lots of questions. He doesn't need to explain to me how he runs the world. He runs it. Hinei lo yanum v'lo yishon. He's not asleep at the wheel. Everything is a divine plan. And be'ezus Hashem, we should be able to see the gula this year, be'ezus Hashem Yisparach. And then we can ask HaKadosh Baruch, we can ask Eliyahu, we can ask Moshe Rabbeinu, we can ask Mashiach ben David. No, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have October 7th? Why did there a Holocaust? These are questions that we don't have answers to. But the answer is ultimately that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows why those things occurred. And as that's to me, the biggest comfort and nechama that we can have. And be'ezus Hashem, we should find out the real answers of Mashiach ben David, b'mehir av yameinu. Thank you so much for honoring my father. For those that want Dav Marv, they're Davi Marv in the main shul right now. And for those that didn't do Kiddush Levana, we can see if there's still Kiddush Levana outside. Maybe we can hop it in now after the shiur. Thank you for listening. It will be on OU Torah and YU Torah for those that would like to have a copy.